on your behalf to veto the fourth and, I mean, the goal line play to Doug when it came to your headset?
No, it's a play we've worked. We've worked that play since he's been in there. And we've worked it, worked the mechanics of it, you know, the handoff to him. And we just got to do it better. It's just, you know, wedge blocking, and you're on the 1 yard line. You got a big guy getting the ball. And so we've practiced it a lot.
The logic of that call with the game on the line to give it to an offensive lineman, that you're on board with that?
It's a 1 yard play. It's a 1 yard play. And we felt that a big guy like that taking a dive could do that.
Under my thumb.
Very well done, Robbie. What? Are you ready?
I am ready. Yeah. Excuse me. Is this on?
Dan, if you're listening, turn the radio up.
Dan Bernstein, he's in therapy. I agree with what you said in transition that this might be better for him. Mm-hmm. It's really Danny Parkins, too. Danny Parkins, too. Like, look, at the end of last year, when the topic came up about whether to fire Matt Eberflus and bring in a new head coach or not, I was enthusiastic. I believed that Matt Eberflus had gotten buy-in from the team, and there were other people with me. I had supporters on this. I had former players who believed this. That Matt Eberflus had gotten buy-in from the team and had built something at a defense that played hard and was lockstep with Ryan Poles in a good way, and that as long as they nailed the offensive coordinator hire, that I was in favor of Matt Eberflus coming back. And let me take the opportunity right now at 4:02 p.m. on the 29th of October. Unlike Matt Eberflus so far after his errors on Sunday, I can point a thumb and be accountable and tell you, dear listener, I was wrong. And I regret that they did not find a new head coach at the end of last season and in the offseason. Because what we have now seen, and it's not just about a Hail Mary, it's not just about, you know, not overruling to, you know, his offensive coordinator, and it's about clearly a guy who talks about building culture but has not built culture. What kind of culture do you have when a player like Tyreek Stevenson is willing to do what he did? And what kind of organization do you have when you are not pointing a thumb at yourself and being accountable while six different players now have come out and pointed fingers at you, pointed fingers at other players, pointed fingers at themselves? And they're trying to rally the troops. The players are coaching you up and showing you how to be. You're 2.5 years in, and I was wrong. And I wish like hell that they had moved on from Matt Eberflus in the offseason. Because you know where you are now, Lawrence? These guys are toast. This coaching staff is toast. They have shown that they have not built something that is sustainable. And they're going to get through the year, and maybe they'll end up at 9-8 or 8-9, or we'll see where it ends up. But they're going to move on. The Bears, I think, are going to move on at the end of the year, and you're going to give Caleb Williams his second offensive coordinator in 2 years, which is what you wanted to avoid. And it could still work out. It worked out eventually for Justin Herbert. It worked out for Josh Allen. But you're going to have that classic Bears scenario of turnover here again after the quarterback's rookie year, because Matt Eberflus is not a leader. He is not a head coach. And I was wrong, and I wish I had advocated instead for a change in coaching at the end of last year.
I want to give you an opportunity to really think about this, though, before you fully point the thumb at yourself. And the reason is that it's very possible they win on Sunday. And it's very possible that they win the game after that.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be sitting here with you, with the Bears being 6-3, and you being like, everything's fixed, everything's fine? Because I don't want you to live in that space where you have now made this declarative statement about the coach, and it ends up being a positive thing that these things happen. They find themselves back in the playoff race. And then you're stuck going, I hope they fire the coach at the end of the year.
Well, and why would I be hoping that they fire the coach? To say that this pivot was right? To say that this opinion was right?
I think that...
This is how I feel right now today, and I need to admit that I was wrong.
I think your opinion on Eberflus is evolving, and that's good. I just don't think that you need to, at this moment, stake the ground of it.
Well, I was wrong, man. I wish I had advocated differently. I wish I had noticed what a lot of other people had noticed and what people around the league have been trying to tell me. I've had a couple different people have been trying to tell me since the hiring that the Bears screwed this up, that they screwed this up, and the stuff that I've referenced. You know, Trace Armstrong is the shadow president. The fact that Dan Quinn was about to get this job and did not all of a sudden because Ryan Poles alone came and decided to do what he did with Matt Eberflus.
Or that Ben Johnson was interested in this job had it become available.
I actually can do some reporting on that. Should I interrupt the take and do some reporting on that right now? Okay. I can tell you that was just a rumor that Albert Breer heard and shared on the radio, and it is not actually something that happened.
Okay.
I can share that with you right now. Yes, Chuck. Yes, Mr. Swirsky, that is sourced. I just got that information during the break, as a matter of fact. So that is not factually correct.
Is there anything that can happen between now and the end of the season that would make you change your mind on this?
I don't believe so. I don't think so, because the kind of pivot that we're talking about, the kind of evolution for Eberflus to suddenly become a guy that is accountable, and we'll talk about mistakes that he has made, and we'll put a little fear in guys. There clearly is no fear in these guys. They are being led by respect. They are being led by.
But isn't that
each other?
Isn't that a good thing, though? Like,
don't you need a little fear in football, Lawrence?
I don't know. I don't know in this day and age if you do. I wonder if and maybe fear is not the right word. Maybe accountability or consequences is. Mm. This is why I'm still stuck on this. Like, I know how I feel about Matt Eberflus as a head coach. Okay, but I'm stuck on whether or not. There can be evolution, which is why I look at what happened at the beginning of the season and I go, here's an example of the players saying what they need, those needs being met, and then them thriving in that moment.
Sure, that's good.
I think that is a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally, I feel like this is getting ready to go badly, but I also understand. From the time that I was in locker rooms to where we are now, it's a different player that we're talking
about.
It is.
It's a different player. It's a different era of communication.
And
different
partnership.
Era. Yep, it is.
So
that's what Jalen said to us yesterday, that now it can just be like that. Okay.
So maybe some of the baggage that all of us come into when we think about, well, damn it, there should be a heavy punishment for Tyreek Stevenson because of the way that he acted and and me worrying about the fact that they did close practice yesterday, because this feels like the type of thing that you do when you're in crisis. This is what I've seen.
They are in crisis.
I agree with you.
They are in crisis, and I don't believe that this guy can lead them out of crisis. I do not believe that is something that he can do as a leader. I don't think he has what it takes in that regard. I think he still thinks like a defensive coordinator.
You know what?
And not as a head coach.
The worst part of like the glow up of Matt Eberflus is that it's cosmetic.
Correct.
Like
Correct.
That's the worst part of this is that it. I'm going to change the way that I appear. Does that also mean that you are changing the way that you go about doing the job? Have you learned anything that's going to allow you to be better at elements that are maybe more important than your public persona?
Hey, man, you're making my point.
I know, because I don't think
that he has. And in talking to people all year long as we have and watching this stuff, I don't think that he has. I think we've got a guy who is not comfortable being a hard ass with the players. He's not comfortable being hard with the players, and they need it. Some of them need it. Because some players don't need that, but some players absolutely do.
Figuring that out is a really difficult part of management and anything.
Absolutely.
Of who needs the kick in the butt versus who needs the hand around the shoulder.
And then having that club in your bag as a leader. I mean, we talk about this all the time with coaches. You gotta have that club in your bag. You gotta know which ones you can joke with and which ones you have to go after. And the head coach has to be able to do that and to put that fear of God into some guys. He's not comfortable doing that. I certainly do not believe he is comfortable doing that. And I'm troubled. I'm troubled by it. And I have people who I have talked to now for a couple years who said when it happened, they screwed this up. Wait till you see it. And here we are in an absolutely insane moment, as we've all been talking about, where the players are saying stuff and willing to talk about it because they know it needs to happen. The players are trying to coach up the coaches. This is pre-mutiny. This is mid-chaos and pre-mutiny.
It's weird that you say that, because that was actually a word that was thrown around by a veteran NFL reporter to me last night.
Mutiny? Yeah, and I'm calling it pre-mutiny right now. It's not quite there, but it is certainly chaos, and you can see mutiny from here.
Yeah, I can. I want to make sure that I try really hard to be fair. And on this show, you may hear me talk about things that aren't necessarily my opinion to try and make it fair, to make an argument for it. And this might be one of those times.
Okay.
One of the things that I'm wondering right now, I'm wondering if Ryan Poles is thinking about this too. If you do get growth over the next 10 games, because remember, there's 10 games left in the season.
I know, it's a lot.
Okay? If you get growth from your head coach and an understanding between coach and player, and things move in the right direction, and we get back to linear development for Caleb Williams, at the end of it, is it still better to make a move at head coach, knowing that that's going to mean another move at offensive coordinator? Is the continuity then a better move for Caleb if things are put back on the right track? Or does none of that matter? And maybe the healthiest thing for Caleb is move on to someone who's going to do right by him as a head coach and as an offensive coordinator.
It depends who your head coaching candidate is. And if it is an offensive mind, then you're going to let that person write their own ticket. If it's a defensive mind, maybe you'll talk about keeping Shane Waldron in the scenario that you paint. And Shane Waldron doesn't seem to have aspirations of being a head coach, and I don't think he'd get a lot of looks as a head coach.
I don't think that he's going to. I think for a little while they had discussed it in Seattle as that maybe being the succession plan, but then not really.
Yeah, but the very fact that we're talking about that scenario is part of the issue, obviously, in terms of the overall philosophy of having a defensive coach. But it can work. It can work as long as that coach is a true leader and a real badass.
But let's keep going here. If these are the things that we're saying about the head coach, then we need to talk more seriously about the decision-making of the general manager.
Absolutely, but let me make one more point on the head coach, because it's sometimes, you know, Lawrence, you and I both like this. It's long been my brand, but you and I share this. We look at the humanity of the people that we talk about. It's often for the good, but it's also for the flaws, because we're all flawed. We all have our issues, right? But I think as you're looking at Eberflus, you can tell what kind of dude he is, and you can tell what he's trying to prove. And I think he's trying to prove that he's perfect and worthy as a head coach, to the point that he can't accept that anything was his fault. He's trying so hard to show the world that he's more than just a defensive coordinator, because we all actually think he's just a defensive coordinator. He's trying so hard to prove it that he doesn't accept anything was his fault. He thinks accepting that and showing that is actually showing a level of weakness and incompetence, when the truth is, like the story I told in transition about Madden, about baseball managers, when you show people that you're capable of saying, I screwed up, it's actually a life hack, because it shows other people that you understand that everybody makes mistakes, and it makes them like you more. It makes them trust you more. And Eberflus doesn't have that.
I don't disagree with you on that, but it's possible that that's just who his public face is. It's possible that as we speak, he is doing that to his players. And that's why I keep going back to the thing that happened at the beginning of the year, where it's, you know what, guys, I hear you. Let's do this the right way. Let's go back up the chain of command. Let's talk with your OC about some of these issues. If you don't get satisfaction from him, I will talk to him. And then it gets fixed. This could just be a tightening of a managerial style by Eberflus. Speaks, I am with you. A lot of this stuff is super concerning to me.
Hey, Lawrence, do all those players saying what they said yesterday sound like they had a coach who admitted that he made a mistake, or did it sound like players desperately trying to point out some things they thought should have been changed?
It sounds like, to me, a bunch of guys that are leaders on the team saw stuff that was troubling. They didn't like how all of it felt. And they felt comfortable saying what they needed to say publicly, which I think is a gift for everyone. And it should be a gift for Matt Eberflus, too.
I should say, but
I'm curious on how he's going to take it, which is why, like, my spider senses are tingling about tomorrow. And I know that Jason said, look, they've kind of done this type of thing before. It is the middle of the season. They do have a lot of injuries. So maybe you are giving the guys a break with their bodies and stuff. But the timing of it just seems really dubious to me.
I agree with you, and because we know what a big moment this is. We know how close to crisis this situation is. And it's the second year in a row we've had this with this guy. Don't lose sight of that.
I haven't lost sight of it. That's why I keep bringing up the way that he handles preseason.
And that's why, Lawrence,
and that bothers me.
The fact that we were here after what? Week 5 last year? Week 6 last year? After all the coaches, two coaches had to leave the building, one under unbelievable scandal, and those were his hires.
That's on his watch, too.
And here we are now doubting the offensive coordinator hire again. And here we are looking at a situation where the players are having to step up. There's eight captains having to step up. It's a second year in a row where we've reached a status like this. That's why I'm comfortable pointing the thumb and saying, I was wrong, and I wish they had changed coaches in the offseason.
And what ends up being really scary is, what was it about Matt Eberflus that convinced Ryan Poles that he was the right guy to manage Caleb Williams' career? Now, if there had been an established OC in here with Matt Eberflus, so pick whatever name you want. Had there been someone that was already on the staff that you were like, this is the perfect person to bring the quarterback along, you can mitigate Matt Eberflus and go, he just needs to work on like the team building aspect, the sideline CEO stuff. And that, but if like it's a major strike, like I don't want to just stay with it just being Eberflus. It's a major strike against Ryan Poles, because you may have sacrificed a year of Caleb Williams to prove your point,
yeah,
that Matt Eberflus was the right guy to coach this
team.
To
stick by your guy for whatever reasons. And if you did the quarterback a disservice in the long run in that way, that would be a major, major problem.
I think back to what Jalen said too before the season started, and it wasn't with us, it was during a press conference. And he was saying how, yeah, you know, people, since I've been here, people have told me the teams are supposed to be good, and then they're not good. And he was dead serious about it. And I wonder if all of those guys, if you're Montez Sweat, if you're Jalen Johnson, If you're Keenan Allen and you're going, I know how things are supposed to be run, and I know what it looks like when it looks bad, and you're in the middle of this, it would be a shame to throw away a season of expectation.
For sure. And so we can point to polls, and you know we'll end up talking about polls. But right now, I see a head coach who is really more of a defensive coordinator than anything, doesn't think about using timeouts, thinks instead about calling cornerbacks up when he realizes there is a problem, and then doesn't own in the press conference the next day that he realized the corners should be up, even after he's the one on tape calling them up. That's handled wrong so many different ways, and he has not set up this team for success. So, second year in a row.
So look, I know that you've pointed the thumb. But the whole reason that I'm asking the question is a premature point. What if tomorrow you get Matt Eberflus at the podium saying, you know what? I talked with the guys. I watched the film.
Good.
I've thought about it, and that wasn't the right way that we should have handled
okay,
that.
Okay, well, then good for him. And that maybe that'd be better for this week, you know, and maybe it'd be better even for a few weeks, and it would have a lasting thing. But he clearly has not built something. He clearly has not built something that can be sustainable in the ways that we're talking about. And I won't believe that a pivot to that character trait is something that he can hold on to. That kind of thing takes work, man. That takes a while. You're going to change your character in that way, change what kind of person you are in that way, what you're comfortable doing.
Sometimes,
that's
though,
a big pivot, man.
When you get a moment like this where you are embarrassed to the level that the Bears have been embarrassed for the last 48 hours, maybe it can change. But I also want to go back a year in time. I brought this up yesterday, and I'll keep talking about it. There were plenty of people and people that I trust that felt, had he not won the Washington game last year, that was going to be the end. For the reasons that we've talked about, the idea that you were going to allow this person to handle the most important quarterback ideally in your franchise's history.
Yeah, the guy who's supposed to change the possible ceiling for everything you do for the next decade. And I think still can, by the way.
And I think that these are the types of moments where you can then look at the sliding door and you can go, oh, if Caleb doesn't work out, you kind of go back to these moments and you go, is that because of what happened in year one? Like the things that we were talking about with Justin Fields, and like the things we were talking about with Mitchell Trubisky, did they put him on a bad path that made it impossible for him to reach his ceiling? These are the things that are troubling overall and need to be discussed. Next. I know you have two thumbs, so you can then point at another thumb in a couple of weeks if you change your mind.
No, but I'm not. Don't give me an out here to change my mind. I have changed my mind once. My feeling has evolved. I was wrong.
You've changed your mind twice because you have the Bears beating the Packers twice, too.
Well, maybe that'll still happen.
If that happens, they can't fire him.
I don't know. They could.
They could.
But listen, you're conflating what they end up doing with what I think they should do, okay? If they decide to keep him and Ryan Poles fights for him because he believes in him in some way that doesn't make sense to me, that doesn't change my opinion. I'm telling you what I think they should do. Don't conflate what I think they should do to what they will do.
We will talk about Spiegs' least favorite team in the NFC North, the Green Bay Packers, and how they keep winning.
They're vulnerable.
Next here on The Score.